Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 44, almost to 50. We're done at 50. We've said that for a while. 50 is our last episode, so we're just chugging along till we get to 50. Big time stuff here. Sorry the pod's late, by the way. I got a new microphone. Trill Ballins, Ken Jack joining me. I'm Jeff Lowe. What's going on?
How's the new microphone?
Same old.
Get the same. What do you have, the Blue Yeti, the official microphone of like podcasters everywhere or something?
Yeah, and actually when I brought this microphone through the airport security on my way to Austin, it got pulled aside because it looks, I mean, through the scanner he showed me, he's like, man, that thing looks incredibly suspicious. He's like, but we've seen a lot of these lately, especially around South by Southwest. I'm like, that makes complete sense. It's just people with their podcast microphones.
Yeah, everyone has a podcast.
It's good that this one sounds exactly like your old one. That's really lucky.
Thank goodness. Okay, so we have to get to something quick. Obviously, a lot of hype from the last episode. A lot of discussions. People want to know about that post-credit scene, you know, whose voice it was, what it means, and it's time to address it. It's time to address what exactly we were saying. So here's the deal. This is basically what it was.
Wait, but we have to talk about, before we get to that, the Beauty and the Beast 2 writer has been recruited, or Beauty and the Beast writer has been recruited to write now for Bright 2. And I think that's more important story. And the people want to talk about that.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that first. Yeah, we'll get to the post-credit scene explanation later if we don't run out of time. Okay, so Bright 2, it's going to happen. We've known that for a while, but apparently the Beauty and the Beast 2, or excuse me, I did it too. Beauty and the Beast writer is going to be writing for this movie. Is it going to be Bright the musical? I feel like that'd be a pretty interesting heel turn for a movie that was fairly divisive. But I don't know. I'm excited for this movie because we oddly enjoyed it for some reasons here and there. So I don't know. More Orc Cop, but this time the Beauty and the Beast writer.
I just hope Bastille comes back on the soundtrack because World Gone Mad was an awesome song. I really liked that. That was a jam.
People hated that scene so much too. And I thought it kind of fucking ruled. I don't love Orc Cop musical, by the way. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be a lot like the Planet of the Apes musical from the Simpsons parody type of thing, I'd like to think. So is Max Landis not on this one, or is it going to be like co-written by this Beauty and the Beast writer? What's going on here?
Look, I didn't see Max Landis' name on there. I'm not quite sure. He obviously was embroiled in some controversy as well, so I don't know. I don't know how that has changed. Many people who were embroiled in those controversies have not seen the light of day since all that, except for Jeffrey Tambor. We're not going to get into this whole thing, but Jeffrey Tambor was in the Arrested Development Season 5 trailer today. So that answered a lot of questions people had about whether he was going to be back. So, yeah, it's Bright 2. Interesting news there. Again, I'm excited for it. It's a free movie. That's the thing. It's a free movie.
Is Will Smith back?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is everybody's back? They got the gang back together. Okay.
The boys are back.
Yeah.
The Orc Cop is back in town.
It's definitely the buddy cop sequel starring Will Smith that everybody's been clamoring for. this is the one people want.
They should cross that over though. If this one's successful and does well for Netflix,
kind of bring in Martin. Why not? Yeah, Yeah, bring in Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill and crossover 21 Jump Street with the Men in Black like idea as well. Just have this gigantic shared universe experience.
Be a lot of I don't fun. Know. Right. Will Smith too, Men in Black. Huh. Could be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Free movie. Get it on Netflix. I'm fine with it.
Exactly.
It should be called Brighter though.
Or yeah. Like, should
Bright. Brighten. Nah, that wouldn't work.
But then
I mean, the third the name one of the guy like, is Bright.
The third one's like Dumb and Dumber though. It's Brighter-er.
Yeah. Boom.
Classic sequels. Moving on.
All right.
A movie that is not free. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. That's coming out soon. It's got a dinosaur in there named, let me make sure I'm saying this correctly. It's, I think it's like the I forget it. Hang on, let me look it up. I had in the tip.
Yeah,
of my
look tongue. It look it up. I'm gonna go on a rant here. I don't like all these names of dinosaurs I can't pronounce in Jurassic Park. What was the one from the last one, like the Indominus Rex?
Yeah.
The first one was so great because you had the raptor and you had the spitter and you had
raptor
the T-Rex.
And a T-Rex.
Yeah. And the spitter. It had like, it was like the Dilophosaurus or something like that.
Oh, the one that killed Newman.
It looked cute at first and they had the big cobra-like hood that came out and it spit on Newman. And killed him with the acid spit, which I don't think that was a real dinosaur, but you know, whatever. Steven Spielberg, he can do whatever he wants on there. And now we have all these complicated dinosaur names, and and now they're like super dangerous dinosaurs, not just like normal dangerous dinosaurs.
Here's the name you said: Indominus Rex was the one from the last movie. Very underwhelming villain dinosaur, I thought, in my opinion, very underwhelming. This new one is called the Indoraptor.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. But the story raptor. Here is
the incel raptor. God, that sounds like a really cool car, actually.
Yeah, just got my brand new incel raptor.
The story here, though, is that Colin Trevorrow said Jurassic World 3 will have no hybrid dinosaurs. He said this is the last hybrid dinosaur, and they're going to get more into like the traditional, like regular dinosaur model that they did with the first one and the second one. In the third one, I forget if they made hybrid dinosaurs. I actually completely forget that. But obviously, it's like the first one, so they're going to go back. I would have preferred they didn't do any for this one, but that's just me. I don't like this super hybrid dinosaur thing. Again, the last one was very underwhelming for me, the Indominus Rex. Now this one has the Indoraptor, which I feel like can't be that much different than the Indominus Rex, which was also a raptor in a sense.
It was everything.
Yeah, it had raptor qualities. Yeah,
but it was big. It was gigantic, like the T-Rex. It was the T-Rex's size, and I would imagine the Indoraptor is more of the raptor size, which might be more appropriate for the close quarter setting of Jurassic Park: Lost World. The Fallen Kingdom.
It won't get stuck in places.
Very, very similar premises, I guess. Yeah, he can just like walk down the street like with the trench coat and a hat on, like a normal. Yeah. Very mobile raptor.
Wait, is it more like Paddington or be more like Peter Rabbit with his unbuttoned button down? Or would the raptor have more of a galoshes? Okay.
I think it'd be more like Paddington. I think he'd have like a nice little raptor disguise, you know, very high intellect creature, as we saw from the first Jurassic Park movie, door scene.
Makes complete sense. Mike Tyson movie
believe,
news.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just can't believe he's got like the third one all planned out in his mind, though. I guess the first reboot or world was one of the 3, 4, 5 highest grossing movies of all time. So I guess maybe he thinks the third one's in the bag, but I like that concept of the traditional dinosaurs more than I like the hybrid dinosaurs. Why didn't we just make that number 2? I want to see the Triceratops make its triumphant return to the Jurassic Park franchise instead of just being sick and having people root through its poop. Like give it some love, you know?
Dino DNA.
What if the plot line of the third one is the what dinosaur did you just say again? What's it?
Triceratops.
Yeah, he gets his gallbladder removed.
Oh yeah, heck yeah, dude! Just Triceratops, just trying to recover, sticking to a low fat, low gluten diet.
They're like running through all the DNA they used to patch together the hybrid dinosaur. They're like, it's got like cuttlefish qualities and it's got human gallbladder, which will probably have to be removed by age 30 because it's really defunct and doesn't work at all.
He drank a lot of caffeine. He did not take care of himself. This dinosaur did not eat right. All right.
So that's
all right,
that's Jurassic World. We also have that Jurassic World thing where people are going to send videos for how excited they are, but we're not going to reveal those until we have a better way to distribute them and people for to vote on them or something. I don't know, but people have been really excited for it, but that movie's a ways away, so we're not getting into that quite yet. Mike Tyson movie news. Now, so the thing about this movie news is I don't really want to talk about this part of the news. I want to talk about the other Mike Tyson movie because every time I think about it, it just sounds incredible. Bruce Willis is going to play Mike Tyson's trainer in a drama, Corner Man. Okay, that's the news. Don't care. Moving on. It reminded me of the Mike Tyson biopic that Jamie Foxx has been trying to get going. And apparently, Martin Scorsese is still going to direct it, but it hasn't quite gotten the ball rolling. And I don't think we've ever actually talked about that movie on here, but that movie is like Early Man. Sorry, I was on vacation. I'm forgetting things. The Ryan Gosling First Man. Yeah. That would be just as much hype for me. Like Martin Scorsese, I've been kind of lukewarm to his recent stuff, but him doing a Mike Tyson biopic with Jamie Foxx, who was incredible as Ray, that movie would be amazing. And there's a YouTube video where he explains how the movie would start on some radio show. I would be all over that movie, and I would hope that would be the best movie of the year. So I'm like this Bruce Willis news. Don't care. Got me really excited for the Jamie Foxx one, which needs to happen. It just needs to happen very soon.
Yeah.
How old is Jamie Foxx?
Jamie Foxx?
47, I'd probably guess.
He's 50, isn't it? I'd rather somebody younger to play young Tyson, because young Tyson is one of like the most electric boxers of all time. I don't know if I'd want somebody... I mean, not that Jamie Foxx looks old or anything, but it'd be nice to have a younger, like super yoked actor to play him.
I'm trying to think. The Bruce Willis one does excite me, though. I forget the name of his trainer. I think it was like Cuss or Gus D'Amato or something like that. I mean, Tyson basically went to go live with this guy when he was 16 years old or something. And he died in like the mid-80s. And, you know, it was said that like his death was one of the things that really hit Tyson hard and kind of, I don't know, like, you know, haunted him throughout his whole life. But that Bruce Willis movie seems interesting as well. I don't want to count that one out just yet, but that Jamie Foxx, you know, anything Jamie Foxx wants to do, I'm going to butter for that.
Yeah, no, it is Cuss, by the way. You had that Cuss D'Amato. I think it's pronounced close enough. Here's a funny thing.
I'm really literal. D'Amato.
The apostrophe eludes you. Mm. So Chadwick Boseman and Jamie Foxx are a combined 90 years old. That's insane. Yeah. Because they both look like they're like in their 30s, maybe early 40s. Chadwick Boseman looks barely older than John Boyega, who's in his 20s. So they look, man.
We were saying it the other day. He played a college kid, Chadwick Boseman, like what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, draft day, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking wild for like a 42-year-old man. That's insane.
It's pretty crazy, though. I mean, Chadwick Boseman is 40. So he didn't get his first, I mean, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia, but his first film credit on his filmography on Wikipedia is 2008, The Express. So, I mean, he was 30 by the time it looks like he got started. I think that would be an interesting segment going forward because there are a lot of actors who got their start like a lot later than you might think. I think that's always been really interesting. Like, how did you get into acting?
Three of his first four movies were sports movies. The Express, 42, and Draft Day.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, too. There's a really, really interesting video somewhere on YouTube. I think actually we did it when I was at GMA. It was at D23, where he talked about how he developed the dialect, like his dialect coach for how he developed the voice and for T'Challa and for Wakanda. It's pretty crazy. He's a really good actor. Hope he continues to do more outside of just Black Panther.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he did a lot of TV as well, like early in his career, which is kind of cool now because there's been such a blurring of the lines between film and TV that it used to be that if you like were a TV actor, you weren't prestigious enough to go into film. And it looks like that's like maybe doesn't matter as much anymore, which is kind of neat because you had Chadwick Boseman whose first television role was in All My Children, and he was in Law and Order and CSI and ER. And like, I mean, you think about like all these shows are like one-off appearances, and he's probably one of the four biggest superheroes in the world right now. So, I mean, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. So Chadwick Boseman,
point that one out.
Nothing to do with the news we just talked about, but had to bring him up. Mike Tyson news. Hopefully we enjoy both those movies, especially the Scorsese and Jamie Foxx one, but that one is still in the early stages. Last but not least, have to talk about Solo. We haven't talked about Solo all that much. It's coming out in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, right. It's the Thursday before Memorial Day.
It's the 24th, right? 25th.
So well, 2 weeks from 2 weeks from Thursday. Mm-hmm. This movie is going to perform very well. Like any potential issues that Disney may have, or people are like, ah, nobody wants to see this fucking Solo movie. Nobody wants to see this at all. It's projected for the biggest Memorial Day opening weekend of all time.
Wow.
That
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but like, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect it to be that big. I mean,
that's true.
It's ahead of Black Panther pre-sale. Obviously not Avengers. Avengers has already made $1 billion. And it's well on its way to probably passing at least The Force Awakens, and then we'll have a chance to do Titanic. I don't think it'll pass of Avatar at this point. I think there's too many movies ahead of it. Like, if Solo is going to break a record, that's going to really hamper Infinity War's ability to claim the top spot. And then Deadpool, I'm sure, will also get in the way of Avengers Infinity War. If it came out in December, though, instead of like Last Jedi, I'm sure it would have a chance to beat Avatar. Regardless, Star Wars, the Solo movie, breaking records. Ken, Jack, and I have to go see it in 3D now.
Yeah, lucky us.
Stinks, because we waited too long. And by too long, I mean like 8 hours. I woke up at 8 a.m. I forgot to do it at midnight and missed out on the chance to get the regular standard def tickets. So it's making a lot of money. But Ron Howard also said that the whole sequel thing is not something that's a shoo-in for sure, and that the contracts apparently are very similar to the ones for the Rogue One characters who all died. But if there's a chance that they were to appear in future ones, they're in that contract. So if there's another movie where they would be lined up to be in it, they could be in that movie. Solo, he also said, Ron Howard did, who has a lot going on with Arrested Development Season 5 coming out, said that it's going to be dependent on how it's received by audiences, which makes complete sense. So it's not like a shoo-in thing where, okay, this is going to happen. It's going to make money, but it's now a matter of if the movie's any good, which, I mean, I hope it is. I think it's going to be fun, but it's going to be one of those things where how good you think it is as a film is going to be largely dependent, I think, on how believable Alden Ehrenreich is, because obviously that's the biggest question mark in this movie, completely. Beyond just the, will he sound like Han Solo? Because I think at this point, you need to just throw that out the window. He's just not Han Solo. Like, just throw it out. He's a different version. It's like Jack Ryan, all those movies. It's a different Jack Ryan. Just accept it. Now, is he a good actor, though? That's the big question. Can he perform well in this movie? And I'm still not excited for it, but, you know, it'll be a fun movie to go see and review.
I think so. Look, the premiere's this week. It's the 10th. So what is that, Thursday, Friday, something like that?
Yeah, it's at Cannes Film Festival.
Well, look, we do all our work on Wikipedia. It's saying the world premieres on the 10th in Los Angeles, and it also will screen on the 15th at Cannes, which wouldn't that be wrong. Wild if you won like the Palme d'Or or whatever that thing's called. I don't know if there's a review embargo on that. Like, I don't know what, like, I know people coming out of The Last Jedi gave their thoughts like immediately after it and gave some insight into like what they thought. And I thought that audience was a little self-selecting, because of course, like, people who go to The Last Jedi premiere would say like, wow, whatever. But it'll be interesting to see what the reception is this week, if people are allowed to tweet about it. Because even if it's like, wow, that was a really fun movie, then I'm like, okay, great, let's go. Somewhat excited about this.
Yeah, that now, was the big
if
thing.
If Kevin Smith comes out of it and says this is the biggest pile of crap I've ever watched, then I'm going to be scared, because, you know, it's Kevin Smith. He loves Star Wars.
So I was obviously one of the ones that left The Last Jedi thing. But a lot of people liked it. And obviously, it's either like you loved it or you hated it. I mean, that movie we know by now. But Avengers was the same thing. Everyone walked out of Avengers going, holy shit. And I was a little worried. I'm like, uh-oh, like, is it going to be the same thing like Last Jedi? And it obviously has not been, because I still have not met one person who didn't like that movie, and everyone I've met has loved that movie. Like, not even like, oh yeah, it was okay. Like, just loved it. Solo is interesting though, because Star Wars, The Last Jedi premiered like 4 or 5 days before the movie came out. And same with Avengers Infinity War. This is a full 2 weeks. That's a lot of time. And I think the Cannes reaction will be the most interesting one, because I feel like those are going to be the least biased people, probably a little more of a snobby crowd. So
yeah, they're really going to hate it. They're going to hate it no matter what.
The reaction from that will be, I think, a lot more interesting than the world premiere one in Los Angeles. But 2 weeks before the movie, that's very rare. But I imagine because it's at Cannes, they want to do it before Cannes.
I think we're going to love it no matter what, dude. It doesn't matter if it sucks or if it's good. I know us three are all going to be like, at least for the first 2 weeks, gonna be like, damn, that fucking rules. No, we are. I know for a fact. We're all going to say it was at least like above, I think everyone of us is going to say above 80, which I think at least in all of our grade books is good.
So you didn't like Rogue One, though?
No, I despised Rogue One.
So what about this? Is it because it's Han Solo in this one that you're thinking you're going to come out of it liking it more? Or do you think it's going to be
it's not an anthology. It's different.
So you think it's going to be a better movie?
This is going to be a character-driven story, which is something I'm way more about than something that's more like a filling-in-the-blank story, which is like Rogue One to me still. I don't understand that whole premise of being like, let's do Saving Private Ryan, but no character development. Let's do that and just make it a movie. And
what character development... What character development do you need out of Han Solo at this point, Ken Jack?
Like a lot. You don't know anything about him pre the first trilogy.
But that's what makes him great, I think. I think that also adds to the mystery.
You want to know kind of like what makes him like the rogue, you know, like what makes him what he is, and I'm interested in that.
Would you say he's the Rogue One?
Here's an issue with the possible sequel. So Rogue One couldn't have a sequel because you'd have to call it Rogue Two. That doesn't make sense because it's a call sign. Solo, you can't make a sequel because then you call it Duo. Sounds even dumber.
Oh.
How are you going to make a sequel?
You and I just made two awful fucking jokes in a row. Just
speak for yourself, Maestro.
Last thing on this. I don't totally agree with you on, I think that we'll like it. So I don't always tweet these because I think it's stupid to tweet, but I'll give you my perspective. I thought Last Jedi would be a 95 before I saw it. And I initially said it was, and it's now down to a 91 for me. I still loved it. Avengers, I thought would not be above an 85. I thought I'd love it and it'd just not be a good movie that works. And obviously, it's above a 90. This one, I'm projecting it's going to be between 70 and 75 for me.
Wow.
I'm thinking above 80.
Yeah, it's Ron Howard. It's going to be a competent movie. Like, Ron Howard did the movie. There's good actors in it alongside Alden Ehrenreich. So it just comes down
to Emilia Clarke. We have to establish that now. Emilia Clarke is not, we cannot qualify Emilia Clarke as like, she is a good actress because she's not really.
Like, we don't know. We haven't seen her enough.
Depends on the role.
I mean, she's a star in Game of Thrones. Yeah, no, but she's the star in Game of Thrones, and I don't think any of that body of work we can be like, wow, she's fucking phenomenal. Like, I don't think her body of work does that.
She will have a better script for this one. Kasdan wrote the script. It'll be a better script. He's a good script writer, and Ron Howard's a good director. So it's going to be a competent movie. It's just going to come down to if it just, I think it's going to come down to the acting. Acting can ruin a movie. So that's Solo. That's the most we've ever, I actually think that's the most we've talked about Solo.
Yeah, the whole movie is going to be about how he got his vest.
Yeah, and that belt, a tri-belt.
He just found it on the Millennium Falcon, like laying over like the seat. He's like, oh, this vest is sick.
I want to see how the Millennium Falcon gets so dirty, like a time-lapse thing of how it just gets from pristine white, which is in all the commercials, to just fucking filthy and grimy as hell.
Spoiler alert, by the way. So if you don't want to hear this, just skip ahead like, I don't know. Just figure it out yourself. Apparently, C-3PO is going to be in it, which just really pisses me off.
Like, I don't want that.
You know it's going to be shoot. We talked about it in our group chat. No movie franchise is worse at cameos than Star Wars. Like, everything has been shoehorned in. The Rogue One cameos, like the guys from the cantina, I forget their names, they were shoehorned in hard. And then our buddy James from the Weekly Planet, he made the exact joke that I thought was perfect for C-3PO. They basically, when C-3PO and R2-D2 showed up on the Rebel base, they were like, it's a Star Wars movie. Look at this right here. Here they are, everybody. It's C-3PO and R2-D2. And it just did not flow. It kind of like, it was like a speed bump in the process of that movie. And so this one, it will make even less sense because at least that one, you knew they were there. This one, where the fuck's he going to run into him?
It's a big galaxy. Anthony Daniels, I don't get that. He certainly is.
Stop making the galaxy so small. That's just annoying. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to see C-3PO.
No,
keep him out of Han Solo. It sounds like it's too late,
fuck
though.
Out of there. Yeah, it definitely is. Oh, and spoilers for Star Wars. If you time that properly without me telling you how to do it. Avengers Infinity War. We didn't get to exactly everything we wanted to get to last week. To avoid Avengers Infinity War spoilers, skip to 40:30. So we're going to answer some questions that our listeners put into Reddit. Keep in mind, we may have no answers to this that make any sense. We could be dead wrong, but we're going to do our best to answer them the best way we can. What about animals and plant life? That was the first question. Apparently in the comics, those half disappear as well. Do we think they disappear, animals and plant life? I have absolutely no idea on this one, actually.
They haven't thought about it. I guess in the comics, if they do, I'm going to say here they do as well. Although you think if half the plant life on Earth disappeared, it would mess up the ecosystem. But I don't know.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me because Thanos' whole deal is he wants to make the resources of the universe are finite, right? That's his whole deal. So if you're having more of the resources in which you want to be more finite, what's the point of that? That doesn't really make sense to me.
That's the answer right there. That's the answer right there, I think, because he talks about Titan, how he wasn't able to save Titan because nobody wanted to do the whole half genocide random thing because he needed more food for people. And that's what happened to Gamora's planet. So that's a good point. I think that's it. I think in this one, no. I think it's harder to explain away in a movie than it is a comic, though I doubt they even explain it in the next one. I just think that that's an unnecessary thing to have to explain. It's a comic book movie. Just suspend your disbelief. Do you think that Tony will ever get off that planet, Titan? I mean, he's just kind of stuck there, right? I mean, obviously he's going to get off, but I mean, there's got to be a way for him to get off, right? I mean, Nebula's ship is there too.
Yeah, that Necrocraft crashed right into him right near the end. So maybe that?
I don't know. He's Iron Man, right? Like,
he's got to have some grand, I don't know, maybe spoiler for 4, but he's got to have some grand sacrifice in front of everybody in Avengers 4 if they're going to truly kill off the character, which I believe they will. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get off Titan. Maybe his sacrifice happens in the past because we've already gone into that, but I don't know. It's maybe we should just say we're going to spoil the movies and future movies with these comments. I don't want to touch on it too much because I don't want to ruin it because there have been set photos that have been released. So people are trying to stay away from that. Be careful. But yeah, that'd seem pretty, that'd be a downer if he never got off Titan and he ended up saving the day, because I do think he'll end up like saving the day. Because I read about it, and there's been like allusions throughout the Iron Man movies and the Avengers movies that, you know, he's only in it for himself. He never sacrificed himself for the team, and I think that's his ultimate fate here. So it would be depressing if he never got to do that in front of everybody, just to see what a cool guy he is.
Nice, apparently, nice. The Russo brothers also teased that technology from Civil War, remember where he was able to see his parents in the beginning and you thought it was like a flashback? They showed young Robert Downey Jr. It's called like BARF or something. That was the acronym. Apparently that's going to be used too, where they're able to use like the mind to replicate old things and to discover like, you know, moments in the past that you can't like recollect or something. I don't know. So apparently that's going to be part of the potential time travel as well. So it could be neat. Next one. Does Aunt May just think Peter's on a field trip? She's just... She's still sitting there. Like, New York is blowing up because things are crashing and everything. She's like, oh, man.
She knows he's Spider-Man now.
That's assuming she didn't get the bad side of the coin flip on that one, because she might be gone too.
Well, in the end of Homecoming, she sees him wearing the suit, so she knows he's Spider-Man. Remember?
Yeah, that's true.
She flips out. She's like, what the f-? And then it cuts to credits.
I wonder what the ref she was saying there. You think it was fuck?
Probably. Aunt May's dirty mouth.
Oh, Jesus. Aunt May is probably alive. I think Hawkeye's family is dead.
Oh,
I think she's alive. Because I can totally see a scene where Robert Downey Jr. goes. We usually say actors' names when we can't remember the characters. I definitely know what his character's name is. So when Tony Stark goes and visits Aunt May and is like, you know, I feel like that scene is something that's going to definitely happen. So I think she's alive.
But wouldn't that require Tony Stark to get off of Titan?
I think he will.
Yeah. So I don't remember you answering the question, so I just kind of like backed you into it.
No, I think he will. I don't know how, but I think there's that ship there. There's enough for that ship to get to somewhere else potentially, because it didn't look like the ship got destroyed. I don't know, but I think he does get off.
I do think the Hawkeye thing's going to happen, because that's going to boost him into action.
Yeah,
he's going to be at that Ninja Turtles farmhouse, and everybody's going to disappear.
Why Ninja Turtles?
Because it's the same. I swear it's the same farmhouse that the Ninja Turtles went to recuperate outside the city in the first Ninja Turtles movie. It looks so similar. Okay.
Here's a big one. Why didn't Doctor Strange use a portal to slice off Thanos' arm like he did to Cole Obsidian? Cole Obsidian. This is an interesting one because, yes, he might have been able to do that. Why did he not cut off Thanos' arm or his hand? But I think he already knew at that point. This is my theory. Again, could be dead wrong. He already knew at that point what the one way was that they'd win. So I feel like maybe he knew that if he would have cut the arm off, they would have lost. I think everything that happens there happens exactly how Doctor Strange wants it to play out. Maybe not Tony getting stabbed, but like everything from there on out happens how Doctor Strange saw it happening.
Yeah. And that's why I thought it was so ridiculous. People were getting mad at Peter Quill and the characterization of him right there. Cause Doctor Strange knew he was going to act like that. It was like,
exactly.
It was foreseen. So, but I mean, good plot point. Like, what would Thanos do if that would end with them losing and he'd have his arm with the gauntlet on in another dimension? Would he just like cauterize his arm off and then like try to go to that dimension and get it and eventually be successful? And then like, would he reattach his arm, or would he just kind of like put the Infinity Gauntlet on the other hand and try to make that work?
That'd be kind of funny, because it's like a right, or I guess a left-handed gauntlet. Can he use it on his right hand? He can't.
Well, I mean, maybe have to get a new Infinity Gauntlet at that point.
Brand new gauntlet.
Yeah, it's not like a, it's not like a mitten. You can't just turn it over and it works on the other hand.
Yeah, it's a very specific left-hand gauntlet. So, I mean, assuming like it, he could have done that, that wouldn't have worked. Thanos would have been able to get the gauntlet back, but he would need a new gauntlet. And that probably would have made him extra mad, because that it can't be cheap.
Well, he literally like murdered 20,000 dwarves to get it, so he didn't actually spend anything on it, I don't think.
Well, I mean, like not directly, but
okay. He got so many miles on his credit card by buying that Infinity Gauntlet from Peter Dinklage.
One random thing I just wanted to note from that scene too, by the way. Do you remember how in Guardians of the Galaxy the Power Stone was so powerful that like if you touch the ground, everyone just dies instantly on the entire planet? Like, yeah, I feel like the Power Stone was really leveled down in Infinity
War. Well, that's another thing people have talked about. And that actually wasn't a question on here, but let's talk about that. Why he didn't just use it to kill everybody, but I don't think that was his plan. Like, I view it as he wants it to be random selection, and he's that much of a madman where he doesn't want to have to kill somebody unless they're literally about to kill them. Like, yeah. I think you can harness and use it as much as you want. Like, look at Thor. In the beginning of the movie, he had the Power Stone on Thor's face, and he was using as much of the power as he wanted to.
So I think I think specifically in that scene too, and even on Wakanda as well, maybe he was afraid to use it because he would have killed Strange, and he needs to know where the Time Stone is, and maybe the power of the Power Stone could destroy the Time Stone if it's like it's aimed at it. So if he did that, it might have accidentally destroyed it. And the same thing on Wakanda, if he used it, it might have accidentally destroyed the Mind Stone and Vision.
I don't know, man. That's tough to get at. I mean, that's the conundrum, right? Because one stone alone, remember, didn't like Loki give him the first stone from the Tesseract and say like, this is what you're going to use to take over whatever? And we thought that would be enough. They didn't stop there. It's like, so like in the previous movies, one stones have always been portrayed as like being enough by themselves to be completely dominant. But it goes back to what Jeff was saying, like in his messed up mind, Thanos thinks that he is like making the correct decision for the galaxy or the universe or whatever. And that if he does it in this very specific way, it is somehow like in his own twisted code of ethics, justified and okay, because it's random.
Yeah. Random. And he killed Tony Stark because Tony Stark was about to stab him. I think that's why he was doing it. I don't think anyone else was legitimately about to kill him. And in none of those situations, nobody was about to kill him, I think. So I think in that moment, he was just doing that to sit him down, to be like, get the fuck out of my way. And he killed Loki too, because obviously Loki tried to kill him. And he killed Gamora because he had to.
Loki's gone for good, right?
Loki's definitely. Yeah. Well, done. Okay, we're not getting into Avengers 4 spoilers. Okay. None of that. Can't do that. Won't do it. You can listen to our last episode because we do talk about it, though. Another one. Wasn't the entire point of Ragnarok to show that Thor doesn't need a weapon to harness lightning? So I think that's true, but he still needs some sort of weapon to like destroy somebody. Like he had to kill Thanos. You can't just electrocute Thanos when he has like the gauntlet. I think he had to stab him. I think it was completely necessary. I think he knew that too. He had to end him that way. I think electrocuting him would have done nothing, especially with the Infinity Gauntlet. He had to just stab him in the heart, which still basically didn't kill him. I mean, he survived that, but the problem was he didn't chop his head off. As he said you didn't go for the head. Shit, I should have said fucking spoilers for that one.
I don't know. It just looked badass when Groot became the axe handle and he got this big old axe and came in with it. Like, that was such a badass scene. I'm not questioning why. I'm sure you aren't either, listener, but it is a very good point. You do run into these inconsistencies when 20 movies that have been written, directed by hundreds of other people kind of bump up against each other.
So they say it in Thor throughout the first two, like he uses Mjolnir to like focus the lightning. And in Ragnarok, he no longer needs it to focus the lightning or harness it whatsoever. He can just regularly use lightning, but he uses like the biggest lightning blast ever. Remember on Hela, and it doesn't kill her at all. Like that's one of his lines. He says, "I just hit her with the biggest lightning blast ever made, and it didn't hurt her at all."
Yeah, there you go.
He says that, and with I think the whole point of Stormbreaker or whatever is like he uses it to like focus lightning. It's not necessarily to summon it, but he needs it to focus it into a single power.
Look at that, Kenjack is fucking woke on all this. This is fantastic. Oh,
yeah. It's beyond me, man. Kenjack's the lore expert of the group.
He is.
Aside from Star Wars, I think Kenjack can go pretty deep on Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Marvel. Like he's the trivia guy for that.
You've also rewatched Ragnarok a lot, right? So that's a really good point. He said that.
He just got done playing God of War, and he's really up on his Norse mythology.
Yeah, heard Mjolnir and Niflheim. You went to Muspelheim, right, Trill?
I went to both of them. I got some time to play it later this week. It was nice. I finished the game out, but you know, as a dad, I don't have all the time.
What do you think about violent video games now that you're a dad?
I don't know, man. I was playing it, and God of War made an exception because as a dad, I understood the special connection that Kratos and Atreus have. So I liked it from that point. But, you know, look, I think it's some Fortnite. I think we have to revisit it. It's kind of making me uncomfortable.
Actually, we can't revisit it because tomorrow Thanos is back. Are we streaming tomorrow, or when are we streaming?
Wednesday, I believe. Or no, tomorrow is Tuesday. Yes, so Wednesday.
I say Thanos is back like he used to be in Fortnite, but Thanos or the Infinity Gauntlet will be in Fortnite. So we're going to stream that. You can have the opportunity to potentially wield all the stones. I hope you can just snap and just win the game. That'd be pretty fucking awesome.
No, it wouldn't win the game. It would cut the player count in half.
In half, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
Yep.
So maybe you can only do that once and then people randomly bow out and then you have like other five powers. I'm wondering if it changes your skin to Thanos. And it'd be cool if you get the gauntlet, you get to keep the Thanos skin. Because I'd have to imagine, like, the probability of finding the gauntlet on a per person basis is like on a, like an average person basis would be rather low. Like, because I wouldn't drop in five games and expect to find the gauntlet. I mean, you got 100 people in there. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah,
there's gonna be people who don't get to wield the gauntlet.
Is it gonna be like a llama, like just anywhere, or you get to like fight someone for it, or? Isn't it gonna be one?
I think
it'll
probably be in a chest. I think it'll probably like randomly be in a chest, I think. Mm. I'm wondering.
I'm excited for it. It's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty neat. Thanos and Fortnite, we'll stream that. Little live podcast.
Talking
Fortnite. But this is a good time to talk Fortnite. It's got a movie tie-in. All right, a couple more of these. Do you think any of the snap deaths will stay permanent or will they all be reversed? I don't think any of them are permanent.
Yeah.
I think none of them are permanent. I think they're all gonna be reversed in whether it's released from the Soul Stone because they're probably trapped in there, whether it's you know, they go back
altering
in time.
The timeline. Yeah.
Yeah, altering the timeline. So, no, I think all of those will be reversed. However, I think a lot of the old Avengers will perish in the next one in some way, shape, or form.
I think Vision's going to die. I think he's going to be dead for good. I don't know exactly why. I also think that Gamora might be trapped in the Soul Stone because when he does the snap, he goes and sees her in like almost the same setting in which he killed her. And I think she might be trapped in there as opposed to being dead. Like, or at least her soul is trapped in there. So I don't know why. I think Vision is going to be dead. I think Gamora is alive, but I think all snap people other than Vision are going to be come back.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Gamora is definitely going to be alive because they have other Guardians movies to do unless they want to just, and that's the trouble. You can't just put everything in the past because audiences will get tired of that. You got to move beyond Infinity War. You can't kill Gamora. She's a great character. Now, Vision got destroyed pre-snap, right? I mean,
he's dead.
Yeah, he's gone. He's dead. Like, and he's not like a beloved character anyway. So, I mean, you know, like, I just go back to him wearing that sweater, looking like Vision in the Age of Ultron.
Yep. Civil War II.
He just flew into Banana Republic and picked up a nice sweater and some slacks.
$198 Peter Millar, you know, purplish blue V-neck, and he's got all the Vision makeup on, tucked into his chinos.
Okay, two more. Where has Captain Marvel been this whole time? What's your theory on that? What do you think? So Captain Marvel next March will be set in the 90s. So where do you think she's been? I think she's off planet. I think she's in space. And I don't know why, but I think that's where Fury's contacting her. I don't know. I don't have a great theory other than that.
What
but
if
I'm
she's trapped in the Soul Stone?
Everybody's just in the Soul Stone?
What if she's currently in the she's been in the Soul Stone when they go redo the timeline?
Well, then how does it contact her?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'm just throwing shit out there, dude.
My theory is that she's going to wield the Infinity Stone. She'll have her own gauntlet. I'm, like, fairly sure of that.
In A4, you think? Or, like, at some point in the movie?
In Avengers 4. I think if they go back to the moment where there's all the stones in one spot, she'll wield them because she'll be capable of it.
Do you think
what will she do with them
her in the past, and that's why it's on like a beeper?
So no, people have said that. I don't think he's contacting her in the past. I think he's contacting her where she currently is, but I mean, I could be dead wrong on that.
It just the device looked so much like a beeper, and it seemed like very time specific, which is why I thought
it looked like like a pager out of like the West Wing, like Bradley Whitford around contacting Captain Marvel on a, during a walk and talk.
I don't know. I'm
never
sure
had a pager.
Yeah, fucking right.
How will Thanos be involved in Avengers 4? Doesn't look like he has any long term plans now. This is where I think time travel comes in. And at this point, I've already spliced in post production the spoiler tag here. We've seen in the set photos the watches that Ant-Man, Captain America, Tony Stark have. So, they clearly go back in time to the original Battle of New York, which is where Thanos is overlooking that. So I think he gets pulled into it from the past, because otherwise he's just fucking content. He's just sitting back, you know, watching some TV, just doing nothing, looking at the sunset. So I think he gets pulled in from the past. That would make most sense to me.
Do you think he dies? Because he did have a big hole in his chest.
It looked like it was fine, though, when he sat down.
Yeah, he did seem pretty okay, but he also, that axe is pretty fucking deep in his gut.
I think he could probably use one of the stones to fix it up.
I felt like he could have done that. But his glove was pretty beat up, though.
It was, but the stone definitely did work.
You can still use the stone, though.
Yeah, he used a space stone to get the fuck out of there. He pieced pretty quick after the snap.
It's pretty cool. Handy.
Pretty neat. All right, so those are some Avengers questions. Wanted to answer those. Glad we did, because we had too much going on last episode to shoehorn all of it in. I'm sure we'll come back to it. Avengers 4, right when that starts kicking up again, I'm sure we'll talk, but I think that's going to stay pretty secret for a while, and I hope it does. And I hope they do more trailers with fake shit in it for the next one. I love that. I like the people that are actually complaining about that still. They're like, oh, they tricked us with the trailers. Like, good, I'm glad they did. Because I was surprised by 90% of that movie. I didn't see most of that, so it was great.
I don't mind that form of being, I don't mind the wool being pulled over my eyes in that way, because then I'm getting new material. What can beat that? Yeah. What can beat fresh content as content producers ourselves?
Okay, we got about, 15, 20 minutes left here. So why don't we do some Would You Rathers? Here we go. Got some good movie ones this week. Couple interesting ones. Would you rather be the star of a film and make a ton of money, but it's the emoji movie, or be a minor actor in a box office stud movie? So that comes down to pride at that point.
Oh, it'd make a ton of money, man. Because I wouldn't actually want to be I wouldn't want to be an actor for that long. I couldn't deal with that. Couldn't deal with the spotlight, the people wondering about me. I don't like it. So yeah, I just want to make my money and get out. Go live on somewhere nice.
Would you say a minor actor or a background actor?
Minor actor. So not like.
So if it could be like Korg, if it was like Korg or something where it's like a universally beloved, I would pick that. But I think 9 times out of 10, I'm picking the money one.
I mean, I guess you could say if you're in a good movie and you did a good job in an Oscar-like movie or a good movie, that you could get more jobs and make more money going forward. But that wasn't guaranteed in this hypothetical. I'd just take the money, man. I'll voice the poop emoji in the emoji movie. My heavens, I have shat upon myself. See, just did it right there. 100 mil. Give it to me.
What was in the joke in that? Like, we forgot to wash our hands.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they just all walked out of the bathroom.
Oh, we'll have to have a nostalgia watch on that one again one day, since that was our first episode. I feel like we can do a much better job at destroying that. But that's a ways down the road. We'll try that. Would you rather have Ryan Gosling in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or have the Russo brothers direct a Star Wars movie? I almost can't picture Gosling in the MCU, though. I could see him being Adam Warlock, maybe, but I can't. He's one of the very few who's not in a superhero movie at this point.
Yeah.
Leo's another one in terms of like actors who are very hot right now and like have stayed hot for a while. Like, I just can't picture Gosling in it, but I can also very much picture the Russo brothers doing a Star Wars movie down the road. I'd rather have them do a Star Wars movie, because I don't see who Gosling would be. Warlock makes sense because he's a blonde guy, a good looking blonde guy.
I don't know, man. That's tough. For some of these, like you mentioned Gosling and DiCaprio and a few other people, kind of feels like a comic book movie. And look, we love comic book movies, and I don't want to use that as a way to rip on the whole genre, but it feels like it might be beneath him at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd want to see Gosling in it. I think it's great that like a lot of these people or a lot of these actors and actresses in the Marvel movies, these movies have actually increased their like perception and increased people's perception of them. Like Chris Evans is like, I mean, he got what he needed out of these movies, and I think he's going to bow out and do other things. But before that, you know, like he was pretty good. He was doing pretty well, but like Captain America took it to a new level. I can't imagine like Gosling doing the same with his career with any other character. And I feel for him to take a role in one of these movies, he would have to be Captain America or something like that, like the top tier superhero. Maybe they reboot it or something like that.
This is a tough one to answer, but what if you subbed Ryan Gosling with The Rock? Because I could totally see The Rock as a Marvel superhero.
Yeah. I mean, I would do The Rock, but also The Rock was just in like Rampage. So like
he's going to be in the DCEU too as Black Adam or something.
Yeah but like this type of movie is like what the Rock lives for. Like this is the Rock in his element. I feel like for Gosling, he's best in, I don't want to say prestigious type roles, but that's almost like what he's just going for now, right? I mean, you think about like it was in La La Land and Drive and The Place Before the Pines or whatever it was, and then he's going to be in First Man. It just seems like his career, he's like just really gunning for that prestigious award at this point that we know and love.
Yeah, and there's some interesting ranges of actors and actresses in the MCU. Robert Downey Jr. signed on for Iron Man at a time where he was kind of trying to make a comeback. But then you have Benedict Cumberbatch, who's a fairly, I think, regal? Is that the right word? Regal actor? But he was in Star Trek, and he also played some different roles. Yeah. You know, Sherlock Holmes. And then Brie Larson, she signed on for Captain Marvel right after winning an Oscar, but then again, she had just been in like 21 Jump Street, and she was in the show The League. But then you have Cate Blanchett. I mean, that's a different one. Cate Blanchett, she was one that I was stunned was in a Marvel movie. I did not think she'd ever be in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. But I think there's a difference between Cate Blanchett doing a one-off and committing the next 7 to 8 years of your life as a Marvel character. She's like, if you're Gosling and you take this role, like, okay, now I can't do like the next Chazelle movie because I'm in Avengers 6 or whatever. So like, I feel like that's why Chris Evans is trying to get out, is because like he's done this. He's been in 1800 Marvel movies. He wants to move on to a new point in his career. With Blanchett, it's like, I'm going to get that paycheck. I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to be in this movie. Brie Larson, though, you mentioned, that is like the outlier, I think, in this scenario, because she has won an Academy Award. And now she's committing herself to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I think that's really cool, though, because you can do it both. I don't think it has to be a one or the other thing. I don't want to make it seem like Gosling shouldn't do that. I just, one, would rather see the Russo brothers, and two, at this point in Gosling's career, couldn't picture him being like, what did you say? What character did you say, Jeff?
Adam Warlock.
Yeah, I couldn't see him being Adam Warlock. I mean,
yeah.
Well, Brie Larson was in DC, though, right? Scott Pilgrim's a DC comic, right?
No, I don't know. I don't think Scott Pilgrim's DC. Is it?
Is it in DC or Marvel? Or is it just like a random, like independent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she also like, I don't know. I think it all comes down to money, right? Like how much money are they paying you to do this? She's probably getting paid really well. Cate Blanchett's probably getting paid really well. I'm sure if Marvel showed up and opened a briefcase that was full of an inordinate amount of money, inordinate, there we go, amount of money, that Gosling would definefely do it.
But yeah, it's interesting when you look at and you break down who is in the MCU. Because I mean, you look at Anthony Hopkins, but then again, Anthony Hopkins was in Transformers the last night. So it's, you know,
well, he's also doing Westworld too, and like Westworld's an okay show, but like Anthony Hopkins, man, he's just trying to get paid.
He wants that check, dude. You see that video of him going insane on Twitter that he posted?
No.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No, I need to check that out.
You've seen it, right?
I have, yeah.
Oh, God. I wonder what's going on with him.
Check it out, Trill. Anthony got to be more online.
Anthony Hopkins is in Ted 3.
That wouldn't shock me at all, actually. Again, he was in Transformers last night. Here you go. Here's another one. Would you rather always sit in the best seats in the theater, but be next to someone with really bad BO, or always have to sit in the first row? So we talked about this when we saw Ready Player One. The person behind me and Ken Jack had his shoes off the entire movie and socks, and feet smelled like shit. Like, I just assumed somebody was ripping ass the whole time, but then we looked up and the guy had no shoes on. And that wasn't incredibly unpleasant, but it was fairly unpleasant for a decent amount of the movie. On the other hand, I don't, the front row sucks. I've seen one movie in the front row. It was The Hangover.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you still there?
What?
You just finished with, I saw one movie and it was The Hangover.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It sounded like you had something like a follow up. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't.
I thought you guys froze. I was like sitting there just looking at the screen.
It wasn't great. But no. To do every one in the front row, I think I may have to just deal with the BO.
Oh, no. No, front row for me, yeah, man. I'm not there. I'm not trying to smell anyone else when I go to the theater. Like, look, no, I couldn't do that, Jeff. I'm sorry. And I'm surprised you made that choice. And I don't think it's insane. I think this question would be 50-50 split, because I think there are people who legitimately, if their option was the front row, would not go into a movie. But me personally, I just could not sit there for 2 hours and smell someone else's onion pits.
I'm doing front row too. Here's a would you rather, though. Would you rather you smell like shit and everyone around you can smell it, but you can't smell it, or you consistently smell shit, but no one else can?
The latter, because I'm so self-conscious. I don't want to be the guy who smells like shit.
Like, no matter what you're doing, you constantly smell shit. You're eating, you smell shit.
Oh,
you're
that's winning, horrible,
you
dude.
Smell shit. You're like everything, every waking moment, you smell shit.
Well, that one is okay, because you can still interact with people. If you smell like shit, who's gonna? Yeah. No one's gonna interact with you.
I'm just thinking about it from a self-care standpoint. That's rough.
Kenji's trying to make decisions right now.
Could you crank off if you smell and poop? I couldn't. I don't think I could.
Kenji's got that like 64 count dude wipe in his Amazon cart right now. Just trying to decide. Like, guys, would you? Just a question, hypothetical.
You think I don't have the subscription already? Like, it's every month, dude. Not every
you. The problem with the one where everyone can smell you is that you would have no idea. I feel like you would go absolutely fucking insane. You'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're just like smelling your armpits every 2 seconds. You shower like 5 times a day. You'd go insane because you wouldn't understand.
That's why this is tough, I think.
I can't make this choice. I think I would still rather smell shit all the time because I'm so self-conscious. But, you're right. You'd be sitting there trying to enjoy a cake or something like that. Ooh. And you'd be just smelling butt all the time. And what if you couldn't do anything about it?
What if like you stepped in shit and you couldn't like differentiate that shit from the shit you constantly smell? So you actually smell like shit. But no,
like,
one else,
what if you actually shit yourself?
You wouldn't know. There's no way.
Yeah. Except for the moisture. Awful. Oh. Actually, I mean, that's a funny question, because I've become so much more tolerant of smelling and dealing with human shit since a week ago when I did not have an infant. So it's a different kind of shit. Baby shit doesn't count, man.
No. Perspective. Yeah, it doesn't count at all. Okay, a couple more here. This one. Okay, so we got a lot of these. People are really on the would you rather watch blank for 24 hours or do something else? Because, you know, we had that with the Bye Bye Man Bavarian Legend one. So I didn't do any of those, but somebody did send this one, which this may not be funny. It may be funny. I'm going to read it now. Would you rather watch the Emoji Movie in theaters for 24 hours straight and win $1 million or Bottom Text? I got a good laugh at that, because we scrolled through a couple hundred questions, and there were a lot of those, like Emoji Movie and Bye Bye Man. And then someone like must have got the sense, like, let me play a joke here, because I'm sure they're getting this question many times. I whoever sent that, I laughed very hard when I read that.
Got to go with Bottom Text here.
Got to go with bottom text. I like this one. This is a really good one. We haven't done one like this. Who's worse to watch a movie with? The watch this part guy, or the guy who doesn't pay any attention?
Oh, this is actually a good one.
Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
For me, it's the guy who doesn't pay any attention. That bothers me.
Yeah, because then like I'm saying, the self-conscious thing, if I pick the movie, I'm like, dude, I picked the wrong movie. I've created a scenario where I've inconvenienced this other human for 2 hours of their life, and I'm probably going to hell for this. So, yeah. if someone's like, ooh, and I picked the movie, I'm like, that's a compliment for me. Like,
what,
or
if the they're going, ooh, and I'm like, picked?
No, but in general, I'm like, oh, the person I'm with is enjoying the movie. I'm enjoying it too. But if I feel like the person I'm with is not enjoying the movie, then I start to like, I start to worry about their own happiness.
Well, what if you're in a movie they picked?
And they're like oohing or not paying attention. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I just like, if they're not happy, if like, let's say it's my wife, right? If she looks like she's bored and doesn't want to watch the movie the whole time, I'm like, I mean, we could pick something else if you want. We could do another movie, right? Like on Netflix or something like that. And no, I'm fine. Like, even if she picked it, I'm like, are you watching this? Like, if she's like oohing and aahing over it, I'm like, well, she's into it. It's like being in a theater full of like a raucous Avengers theater. They're basically oohing and aahing in mass, right? When they cheer. So like, it just depends. Like I like people who enjoy the experience. And if someone's really annoying saying like, oh yeah, like, I mean, whatever, like they enjoy the movie. They're helping me enjoy it too.
Schrodinger's ooh, I like it. Not really applicable.
Don't see how that applies, but we won't dive into that one.
The thing with the cheering in Avengers, do we mention it last week? I forget, but a lot of our listeners mentioned how mad they were with the cheering. I fucking loved it for Avengers. It was awesome for Avengers. The experience was insane. I actually think we did talk about this. I liked it. And I've mentioned before that I don't like it in a lot of situations. Like Ready Player One, the clapping throughout was just incredibly unnecessary, I thought. But like this one, I understand your connection to the characters. Like when they show Wakanda for the first time, or the arrival scene on Wakanda with those three characters, because I don't want to spoil it still, even though that picture has now surfaced on the internet. By the way, people have just given up on not trying to spoil Infinity War. And they did it like a week ago. They're like, ah, fuck it. Like with all the memes and shit, people are like, nah, just we assume everyone's seen it. We're going to spoil it. But I did like that. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the person who doesn't pay attention. Or, yeah, the person who doesn't pay attention is worse. That bothers me.
Yo, check out the picture I just sent.
That's what I'm doing.
Jared Leto showed up to the Met looking, I mean, I don't want to say, I don't know. I don't mean like this is a
Richard.
He looks cool.
He looks
because
like
he's Jared Leto and he can pull it off, but he's wearing like a gold
combo of Prince, Jesus, and somebody in the Beatles.
Yeah, he looks like George Harrison, Prince, and Jesus.
Classic combination.
I only say Prince because he's wearing that ascot like tie.
That's why I said it too.
But, like, I mean, that's just not fair that you could be a human and be that attractive that you could just like, I know it's the Met Gala and it's like a high-end fashion like event, like where people wear high-end fashion, look at art, but I mean, I couldn't get away with that even at the Met Gala, man.
He's wearing like a minister's trawl thing or whatever those things are called, but it's like decorated like your grandma's couch upholstery. Like I could never pull that off in a million years.
There's a lot, and he's got embellishments and embroiderments on his actual suit jacket. And by the way, you could ski down his lapels. They're that wide. They're probably 6 inches on each side.
There's a big ass.
I'm amazed by this man.
Ooh, if only we talked about this later, because this is a great segue into something we need to talk about. The Met Gala.
This is really good radio. Look up the picture though, folks. Look it up while you're listening to this part, because Trilla is right on that. All right, three more. Would you rather be a side character in the MCU or a main superhero in the DCU? This is easy, right? Like, this has to be. You already mentioned it earlier. You said Korg. Yeah. Think about how many side MCU characters are incredibly beloved. Korg, just recently, Korg, Shuri. I mean, even like
Lewis and Ant-Man.
Groot isn't a main character, right? Like, I wouldn't really consider Groot a main character. The side characters are beloved in this franchise. M'Baku. I'm going side character MCU big time.
Same.
Is this from a standpoint of people loving you, or is this a standpoint of like superpowers? You know what? I'm going with MCU because I don't want the responsibility of a superhero, like a mainline superhero. I don't want to deal with what Superman deals with. I would rather just kind of be like, you know, in my own like little world, like side characteringing it up. I don't want
but
the burden.
But also, I wouldn't want to deal with what Superman deals with as a character, but I also don't want to deal with what Superman deals with as an actor being cast as him, because then, you know, people hate you on the message boards, they send you threats.
Oh, so is this an actor? Or are we talking about would you rather be cast as an actor? I thought what would we rather be, as in, like, actually be. I'm sorry. Yeah, probably cast, too, because you're right, because you're never good enough for that DC fan base. And they like to rant on it. Then when the movies are bad, they like to make fun of you for saying the movies are bad. Just cannot satisfy that fan base.
I feel like actually being Superman would kind of rule, because like even just in Justice League, he very easily beat Steppenwolf's ass in like 20 seconds. He was like ridiculously overpowered for that universe, and every other hero in the Marvel universe is underpowered compared to that.
Yeah, but if you're actually Superman, then you have to deal with, like, if you knew something was happening and you didn't go save it, is the blood on your hands? Like, that burdens on you forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Schrodinger's blood on his hands. So I
guess there's no Schrodinger's here. I mean, it's like, you know what's happening. Like, you know a bus or train's going off the rails and you're just like sitting in, you're like, I don't really feel like doing that, you know, whatever. And like, Superman has to live with that. Like, that's part of Superman's burden. I would rather just be M'Baku or someone like that. Just, you know, got my own thing going on.
Would you rather live in the Purge universe until you die and be poor? So no like safe house. You got to really struggle to survive on the night of the Purge, or live in the Quiet Place universe for 1 year?
Probably the Quiet Place universe for 1 year.
Damn, really?
Yeah.
Because it's just one day every year. You got to figure out a way to stay safe. I mean, yeah, that's very stressful, but you have all year to figure that out.
But you're poor your whole lifetime, right?
But then every day you survive, or like every year you survive, it's always this countdown clock. Like, I have 364 more days to prepare. It's just like, you got to think about it, and you got to sit there, and your whole life is based around like preparing for the next purge. And I feel like with the Quiet Place, like, if you go really quickly and you know how you're going to go. With the Purge, it's like, you don't know what kind of messed up stuff is going to happen.
This is a really good question, actually, but I'm guessing gamble big.
Jeff would take the Purge. I mean, that's the rest of your life, dude. You'd be like, you think about the anxiety I have, like knowing that Purge is coming every year. Like, I'd just rip off that Band-Aid. Let me try to cram all that survival into 1 year itself.
Oh, that is really hard. You know what? No, you've convinced me. Give me the Quiet Place. I'll learn how to be quiet.
Well, it depends. I mean, or would people be with me? Like, by myself, I'm pretty confident. No, I cannot do it, dude. I'd have like a night terror or something like that. Like, or a, like have Snore. An issue going to the bathroom, and then just be like, oh no. I have to like muffle
that'd
be
the worst way to die. Someone just stumbles upon like your corpse in half the toilet.
I would create like a special encampment for going to the bathroom. It'd be like surrounded by mattresses or whatever.
Just poop in the waterfall.
I feel like the Quiet Place, though, I don't know. I mean, was their living situation really the best? Like, they're really in that wide open farm area. Like, would they have been better in that city, like fortifying up the best they can? Or like, would they make too much noise fortifying?
Concrete probably is just like so loud. Like, if you're surrounded by like steel, metal, brick, and all that, I feel like that's still a louder surface than just grass or wood, whatever.
That's true. I would just create like a windmill that has a brick on it, and every time it rotates, it knocks the brick just off in the distance. So it just creates. Oh wait, they destroy that thing anyway. Never mind. Some like perpetually repeating sound or something like that. I feel like I could figure something out.
Live in the waterfall or something, or like next to it.
Just try to find a boat. Just go out. Just find a houseboat and just go out to sea.
Yeah, sure. That'd be the easiest way to do it. Go out on a fucking battleship and you're set for life.
Okay, last one. Before I know, actually, we do have another question after this, but it's not a listener question. It's about Ocean's 8. We've got to talk about this. Would you rather have to wait an entire month to see a new movie? I already know what Charles is going to say on this one. Or have to drink a large cup of soda filled with fake popcorn butter whenever you go to the theater.
Oh, wait a month.
Well, I mean, that's got to be wait a month. That's fucking disgusting. What about a small cup? Like a little water cup.
I think that would kill me. I really do. Like, I think I'd be like inside out man at that point. It'd just flip me over like a hand puppet.
This would be hard with like a shot glass amount. I think it'd still be a hard decision.
I could do a shot glass of butter.
Like, especially if it's
hot.
Movie
theater butter. Yeah, you put a shot glass of butter on your popcorn.
But it's not like regular butter, which is melted butter. It's movie theater butter, which is like artificial goop that's like orange like colored. It's not the same thing, really. Yeah. It won't taste
I mean, it's
same.
Gross. No doubt it's gross, but I'm just saying, like, I think I could do a shot of movie theater butter if I really had to. I don't think I could drink a whole glass, and I'm not worried about the grossness. I'm kind of worried about the grossness. I'm more worried about what it's going to do absorbing all that fat in my body and the 48 hours afterwards.
If you think about it, you're not putting much on there if you're doing a large tub. It might seem like it, but like to fill up a shot glass, it's probably not going to fill much up of a shot glass, like how much you put in it. I don't do butter at all ever since I've been on the old Weight Watchers. Shout out to Oprah. Great company. Since I came back here to New York in January. So I haven't put butter in my popcorn in a while, but Kenjack, you do like rarely. I think you did it. You did it for 50 Shades, I think. That was it so far.
That was the only time I ever did it, yeah.
Yeah, had to lube up before 50 Shades. All right. Last thing. Ocean's 8. I don't get this. We got to talk about this. This movie's coming out pretty soon. I'm excited for the segment we're going to do for Ocean's 8 because we're going to do build your own heist team. So I'm not sure if we're going to do actors or we're going to do like movie characters. We'll figure it out, though. That's a fun one. I'm excited for that. However, in the trailer, and if I'm wrong, please tell me, the two of you, does it not appear as though Anne Hathaway's character is the subject of the heist at the Met Gala, which is actually happening as we speak right now here in New York? Doesn't it seem like she's the subject of the heist? Like she's being interviewed by James Corden? Yeah.
It's her jewelry, I thought they were trying to get.
Yeah, it took me forever to realize this, but she counts as one of the eight. She's in the movie poster. She's in the posters that were released today where it all had their number. It was like one and then the actress, two, the actress. And in the trailer, she's one of only the eight names that are listed on the screen. So that's odd to me. Like, there's no way they're telling you the twist, right? Like, is there somebody else?
I think she's going to play her twin.
Ooh.
Because that would be a very Oceans type thing. Like,
but
if
that's
she had
very
a double,
similar. That's very similar to Ocean's 12, though, when Julia Roberts pretended to be Julia Roberts, which people hated that.
That is so stupid. She's definitely part of the heist. I mean, she's got to be part of the heist at this point.
Like her ad or whatever, like the other thing, like take it, hack it, whatever. Her thing just said wear it. So like, what would her role be if she was just wearing it?
Like switching bodies with the person and wearing the jewelry out like the back door or something. I don't know.
Maybe she's a famous person and they're trying to get it out. I don't know.
That's what she plays Daphne Kluger, a celebrity and the target of the heist, according to the Wikipedia article. So she's definitely set up to be the target of the heist in the marketing materials. But and also in the marketing materials, she's part of the eight. She's part of the crew. So that's kind of misleading, you know?
That's what I don't understand.
One, Kate Blanchett, two, Mindy Kaling, three, Sarah Paulson, four, Awkwafina, five, Rihanna, six, Helena Bonham Carter, seven, and then Anne Hathaway, eight. That's Ocean's 8. So she's got to be in there. She's got to be a part of the heist. I don't know how they're going to implement it.
James Corden plays Anne Hathaway's character's associate. And then also Debbie Ocean's confidant, Sandra Bullock. I just like there has to be a twist here, so they're not telling us something. Steven Soderbergh's still involved in this, and he always has a crazy twist in these movies, something you did not see coming, even though the 1 in 12 was pretty stupid. So, man, I don't know. So here's my theory. I could be dead wrong on this. I think, because it's been said that Matt Damon and Carl Reiner are in this movie, which I cannot wait for. Wait for that. That's going to be like, you know, that's going to be like Avengers level for me. As everyone knows, I love the Oceans franchises.
I personally think George Clooney is going to be in this.
I think he might be the eighth, and then this is a complete misdirection.
Yeah. Because she visits his gravestone in the trailer, right? But wouldn't that be the perfect Danny Ocean thing to do to fake your own death?
Oh, yeah.
Quintessential.
Like, yeah, Danny Ocean would totally fake his own death. They would not just kill off Danny Ocean for no reason other than to explain this movie. So I don't know if he's the eighth, but I feel like Danny Ocean could be the eighth, Jeff. It could be a misdirection. They got something big up their sleeves. I don't know what it is, but I'm fixing to find out.
I'm excited for it. And when we said that, people kind of called this out a little bit, just like, oh, come on, it's not going to be good. I'm excited for this. I like heist movies. I think it's going to be well done. And they're just fun. Heist movies like this are fun, especially from Steven Soderbergh. If anyone else, I'd be like, nah, like, never mind. But I'm excited for this, and especially knowing that Matt Damon and Carl Reiner are in it, and there could be other ones. I just that Danny Ocean. I need Danny. I need Rusty. I got to see it. Got to see it.
Well, I mean, like, Gary Ross is directing it, and his last movies, I mean, he did The Hunger Games, which is great. So he also did Seabiscuit and Pleasantville. Pleasantville actually was really good. Free State of Jones, I did not see. So, I mean, Soderbergh and Gary Ross, I think fine people leading up the movie. Sandra Bullock rules. Cate Blanchett rules. Great cast. I mean, I think this movie's going to rip. I think it's going to be great. But I also think part of that is they got to get the right cameos in here. If I'm going to an Ocean's movie, I got to either see Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, or Big Ocean Man himself, Danny Ocean.
He's only been tied to movies, Steven Soderbergh, and he's the producer. He's only been tied to two movies below an 80% around Tomatoes, Ocean's 13 and Ocean's 12. So technically that doesn't bode totally well for this one. But Ocean 13 was a 70%. I think it was just a little too much of the same. I always thought there should have been just been a 12, not a 13, and they should have just stayed in Vegas for 12.
Yeah,
but I hope there's more after this. I love these movies. As you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know I fucking love these movies. I pick an Ocean's 11 character for everything we do, draft or team-wise. So I'm excited. That comes out. What's the date on that one again? That one is released, has to be very soon, June 8th. So a month from this week.
I got to say this about Soderbergh. Magic Mike was a fucking awesome movie.
Oh, awesome movie.
Love awesome Magic movie. Mike.
Ken Jack, thoughts?
On Magic Mike?
Yeah.
Did you see Magic Mike?
All right. What? Yeah.
I love Magic Mike. Because I thought Magic Mike is a classic.
Magic Mike 2 was tough.
No, Magic Mike 2 was rough.
Yeah, Magic Mike was one of my higher rated movies the year it came out. It
was Soderbergh movie. Was not involved in Magic Mike 2. I need to put that out there.
No, he was not. Yeah. So that's that. That's our podcast. Trail, good luck continuing this journey as a father.
I'm loving it so far, so I appreciate it.
We haven't played Fortnite since you've been a dad, but I hope that happens at some point soon.
I think once everything gets adjusted in the first couple of weeks here, I can be back on the Fortnite. But right now, it's like it's in between sleep and caring for the child. It's tough, man. There's no life. That's what I said in the last podcast. Like everyone would be like, oh, you know, get ready to not sleep and. You're like, ha, and you laugh it off, but no, they're completely right, man. It's not a lot.
Well, we talked about a segment. I won't get too much into the details here. And if you have some ideas, post it on our Reddit. We talked about doing a segment where you debunk early fatherhood or early parenthood myths from movies. Because I asked you the other day, I'm like, you said you're really good at changing a diaper. And I said, oh, did you go to one of those classes with your wife before the birth where you learned how to do all those things? You're like, nope, I just talented at it. Just have done a good job so far. No classes.
Didn't do that, man. Had to learn on my own, sink or swim. Yeah, we need to. I need more experience under my belt. And then we can do a segment where we talk about. We can watch like Daddy Daycare or something like that. Talk about like fatherhood myths from the movies. Because right now I feel like I don't have enough experience. I can't talk to it yet. I'm still being baptized by fire.
Meet the Fockers. Which one's the one where he wears the fake breast to? Breastfeed.
Yeah, I think it's Meet the Fockers. Yeah. Or it wasn't Little Fockers, was it?
No.
Maybe it was because that would make sense, right?
Yeah, because Little Fockers has the kids in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pregnant in Meet the Fockers, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't have kids yet.
I don't know the Fockers cinematic universe too well.
I'm surprised they haven't brought that one back yet. They haven't reunited everybody for another Fockers movie. Seems prime nostalgia time to do that.
So that's been this episode. Sorry it's a day late, but I hope you enjoy it. This is a fun one. A lot of good stuff to talk about. We're going to be reviewing I Feel Pretty this week. We all saw this movie a while. Ken Jack and I saw it last week. Trillball, your new name, Trillball. You saw it like a month ago, right?
Like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. So yeah, round up to a month. You're right there.
Yeah. We got to remember what happened there. Ken Jack and I, we didn't love it, but we'll get more into the weeds on that.
There've been some later think pieces week. On this movie too.
There have been.
Bill Maher defended it on his show on Friday night in a segment. So it was like, I don't know, like people anti this movie and people pro this movie in terms of like the message. And I don't know if we'll get too deep in that, but it
well, it we wasn't might. A good movie. It's
Schrodinger's movie.
Bill. Oh, shut the fuck up.
We might get into a little bit of the message, because two movies that are comedies were released pretty close to their Blockers and this one that had, you know, female empowerment messages in it. And one was pretty fucking hilarious, and the other one, it wasn't. We'll get more to that later in the week. Gotta go to Soul Cycle. We can do some deep dive at Soul Cycle and figure out how movie accurate that place is. So that's it. For Trill Bones and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you later in the week. Oh, shoot. We forgot to talk about the post-credits scene.